Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 19th day of December, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Roundtable with Keith and Greg. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. Callers will be welcome, of course, and we anticipate Keith and Greg will join us here very soon. We also want you to know that we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is muted when they enter the conference until such time as you indicate you wish to speak, and then I will unmute you. And we will take those in the order that we receive them. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do have a daily mail page where we try to keep the current events listed there for you to check out. If you're stressed for time or whatnot, we try to take care of that for you. We also have a homepage that's been slightly modified to put additional information on there, including information on how you can help us out if you wish to make a donation. We have a Contact Us page where you can fill it out and send it to me, and it will get to my inbox, and I will address whatever concerns that you have placed on there. For my French-speaking cousins, ame parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. For you in the lands of speaking the Spanish, ame parentes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And, of course, our German folks out there, zumeinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. Basically saying welcome to the call in those languages. I see Greg has already called in. Now, Keith did let me know he will not be able to join us until about 15 minutes from now. Greg, you're already with us, so welcome to the program. How are you, buddy?
Thanks, Yahweh, Brother Dan. I'm doing all right, all things considered.
All things considered. In this chaotic time, I'm not sure if there's anything normal anymore. I just want to run down a few things with the folks, and then you and I can get into our roundtable here on some of these things. But as I'm watching these various platforms and videos and things that are put out by truthers and patriots and veterans, etc., especially the medical ones, I just shake my head at times. It's like, how in the hell did we get here and get here so fast? But I guess it's been a slow creeping crawl, and from my youth, which is back in the 1950s and yours as well, but I can remember comments being made. I was just talking to somebody the other night. When I was a young boy, I remember one time my mother and father took us all to the drive-in theater, and that's pretty much the only place you'd take kids because children tend to be unruly, so you didn't take children to the movie theaters very often. So you'd go to the drive-in movie, because then the kids could go play in the playground or whatever while mom and dad watched the movie from their car. But I remember they went to see one of the movies that Elvis Presley was in back then, and I remember comments being made. And I remember my parents were sort of negative towards the criticisms of Elvis Presley and his music and his gyrations as it being somewhat puritanical and hypocritical. But as I look back at it, there were elders back then that said that the music entertainment was a tool of the devil. And a lot of people laughed and said, oh, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, as we look back at it, Elvis Presley did sort of break the ground with some of that using music to influence society, especially young people. I mean, I remember when he first came out, there were throngs of young people. Of course, we don't know how much of this was staged, knowing that the Jews have staged so many things in these latter days. But I remember the press and the early television programs in black and white. They would show all these screaming and yelling young people how much they loved Elvis Presley. And what the TV did not show you was in the live performances that he was gyrating all over that stage, mimicking almost intercourse in some of his movements, as well as some of the lyrics in the songs. But the, just the general idea that that's how they get the camel's nose into the tent with stuff like that, okay? Then they put down anybody that raises any concern, calling them names, Puritans, old fogies, whatever. And then they get all of us younger people to be watching it, and then they just kept the pressure on. You don't need to listen to those elders. You don't need to listen to the preachers, the few out there that were denouncing it. And then the next thing you know, we've got rap. Now we've got half-naked women and men up on stages performing all sorts of demonic and perverted stunts. So once again, our Christ, when he was here on earth, he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And the leavening process, we looked it up in a dictionary one time here, the leavening process that was talked about in that scripture is anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. So what Christ was saying, he wasn't telling you to watch out for yeast in bread, in the making of bread. He was telling you, be careful of the leavening process used by the Jew Pharisee as they undermine your society at every level by making small, almost imperceptible changes. So again, music used to be primarily gospel and patriotic and things like that. Well, they come in and they go, well, wait a minute, let's have entertainment and let's liven it up a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. Come here, don't be such prudes out there. Come on, a little bit of gyration, a little bit of risque language in the lyrics. Come on, and you can handle that. Besides, it's fun. And next thing you know, we've got absolute perversion in every form of entertainment we got today, especially televised entertainment and flat screen entertainment, to where pretty much everything is pushing the perversions, satanic perversions. And of course, the Jews are behind it because they're the children of Satan. I mean, they admit that. I don't know why the general public doesn't seem to understand it, but they admit it themselves. Any comments, Greg?
Yeah. So I had a big mouthful of coffee going there. oh, brother, I grew up watching the Lawrence Welk show. I'm sure you remember that show. A fairly wholesome show, you know. I still watch it when it comes on the old timer channels. I'll watch it once in a while. But you gotta marvel at what a long game the Jews play in regard to our destruction. And, you know, if they could push a button and we're gone, that button would be pushed. But they don't have that button, and they can't just come straight up to the door. We've seen what happens when they have absolute power. You know, we saw what they did in Russia when they had complete power. The blood flowed. Their bloodlust was able to be unleashed upon the white population of the white Russian Christians, and they were slaughtered by the tens of millions. So that's what happens when they get absolute power. Right now, they're just playing this worldwide game where they've introduced so much moral decay to our people around the world our people now have lost all their basic morality. They don't accept just about anything. I just can't get over how slowly we've been led down this path, and yet it's been so deliberate, so well planned, you know, to the point where now we're so weak, our race as a whole, we're just lining up and rolling up our sleeves and jabbing in there whatever the Jews want to put in us. Well, there's barely a whimper out of us. There's a whimper, thankfully. There's some resistance. But, you know, they're saying, I bet you 70 or 80% of our people have taken some of this poison into them by this point. I hope I'm wrong, but I ask everybody I meet anymore. That's almost all I want to talk about for a while with people. Have you taken that vaccination? And, I finally met a guy the other day that said, no, not me. But I bet you before him, I'm at 30, that said, oh, yeah, I'm fully vaccinated. And they'll brag about getting the booster, you know? And our people have just been slowly but surely just devastated. We haven't even barely observed the process. It's been so gradual, you know. I have memories of the 60s and the 70s, and you know, you alluded to Elvis Presley and how the degradation just became worse and worse and worse and worse, and you know, now you've got. I don't know who would send their kids to these concerts today, but, you know, they're filled with, you know, nudity and satanic worship. It's right out in the open now. They don't have to hide it anymore. It's right out there. That's where they brought us to this point.
Well, we know that they control Hollywood and the networks as far as television. So no surprise there, but some of the people in the chat room here are pointing out the fact that Elvis was a Jew. He admitted his grandmother and possibly even his mother was Jewish. So that all stands to reason why he would be pushed out in front of us as something to look at and admire by them and be a leading cause for our detriment. But I remember, I think he first appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, if I remember right. A lot of these degenerates made their first appearances on Ed Sullivan, and Ed Sullivan was a kike, right?
Yep. As far as I know, yeah. You know, obviously the last name Sullivan sounds Irish, but, yeah, you know, they changed their name, you know, like they put on a new suit.
Oh, so, well, that's just like, Rothstein in Germany, which means red stone in German. So when he comes to America, he changes it to actually red stone. And everybody thinks that it's American Indian or English of some kind when he's actually a kike. So they all do that. You know, Rockefeller was changed to Rockefeller. They do it all the time, anglicize their names to hide. So, again, Christ was right. He said, beware the wolves in sheep's clothing. So many of these Jews, I mean, you look at all the major networks, they're at least three levels of management down, all Jews, every single one of them. Especially like CNN, the Communist News Network, three levels. So that's like 50-some top managers and middle managers. Every single one of them is a kike. But you look at
you might as well say it's 100%. You know, there might be one or two great, you know, in there somewhere, but how much influence would they have?
Yeah, that's by accident. That usually the goy get the job of fixing all the hardware and doing the dirty work while they all sit at the top and act like they're running the show. I've seen it even in the industry that I was in. You go to these project manager meetings for some big project getting ready to be done in the power plant, and who's sitting at the table as the managers? All non-white, all Jews. And who's out in the audience is the engineers and the technicians that are going to have to go out and get all this stuff done. It's all pretty much Anglo white guys because they're the ones that know how to get it done. But who's going to take all the credit for when it goes right is the Indians and the Jews and the other non-whites sitting at the table. But then if things don't go well, then they'll pick out a few of the goyim and say, well, it's all their fault. I mean, I saw it happen over and over and over. And I even before I became Jew wise, I used to ask people, how did these people get in charge? In the military, I remember saying that about a few of the officers that were in charge of our squadron and things like that. It's like, how in the hell did that become an officer? And then when I got in the industry, it was, you know, how did that guy become vice president? How did that guy or gal become a project manager? I said that they don't have any skills.
Right.
And then we would get a plant manager, which is the highest position at the site. These plant managers would come in, especially in the latter 10 to 15 years of my career. Many of them were non-whites, and I remember one named Mano Nazar. I think he was Armenian, could barely speak decent English, and yet he was the CEO in Michigan and became the CEO of 6 nuclear plants in Florida, and the guy's an incompetent boob. Some of the people that went on business trips with him and all said that he couldn't wait till the plane got off the ground so he could start popping the top on booze and other things, basically having a party on the plane as they're going to some sort of a business conference. And the guy gave speeches that were supposed to be informative and uplifting to us and in these different halls and everything. And it was like you'd sit there just shaking your head is, how did this guy get to be in charge? And again, it became quite evident he was in charge because he was part of this New World Order type cabal at the corporate level, that he would do whatever he was told to do, whether it made our lives any better or not, whether it made our jobs any safer or not, it didn't matter. He would do whatever he was told to do. And I saw it. It's just like in our government, the way it's acting today, these people at the top put out a mandate or some sort of a regulation or a piece of paper, and all of the lemmings just follow in suit because they're scared to death that it might impact their paychecks.
Well, you nailed it, Dan, and that's why you look at where we are now. Our people have essentially been replaced at every level. You can start by just looking at the Congress and the Senate, and you look at all the non-whites in there, and you see some of these people in action that get up and try to give a 2 or 3 minute speech, and you think to yourself, they're imbeciles. There's no chance that this person on their own merits should have been elected to anything. And yet here they are, congressmen and senators that have a tremendous amount of power just with their vote alone. And then you realize that's how they got their position. They will vote however they are told to vote. They probably don't have an original thought in their head, but they will vote the way their party tells them to vote, and therefore that's all that really matters. Because, you know, it's not them writing the bills. I'm always amused when I see one of these imbeciles come out with a bill. And once in a while, I'll read the bill and I'll think, yeah, I'm sure she wrote that bill. You know, she probably didn't know what half these words mean. So, you know, people write the bills, you know, put their name on it. You know where I've really seen the replacement of our people more than anywhere else where it stands out to me is in law enforcement. I cannot get over when I, and the military for that matter too, but when I see on TV how many black chief of police there are, black female chief of police there are, it's almost universal now that the chief of police is a black person, a Negro. And I think, what are the odds that person rose to that position by their merits? And I think zero.
pretty close to zero anyway.
But they're going to do what they're told to do, you know?
Exactly, but it's the same thing with these mayors and governors, but particularly mayors of major cities that are black. Every single one of them is incompetent as hell, and almost all of them are corrupt as hell. That's just a fact. What major city run by a black improperly? Does anybody know of one?
Well, I live in a city in New York. We just had our female black mayor thrown out of office for corruption. And before that, she fired the black chief of police for corruption. And now we got a new black mayor who put a new black woman in as the chief of police. Welcome to my world. You know, right. I get to live in clown world every day up here. Fortunately, I don't interact much with it, but I'm observant, and I've seen it. And over the last few years, you know, where things have become clear. And once you become Jew-wise and, the scales come off your eyes a little bit, you begin to see the plan if you look around. It's not hard to see it. It's not hard to see it. It's there. And you begin to understand how systematic has been the destruction of every aspect of our people, not just here but around the world, but you see it mostly where you live. And I just can't help but see it every single day on TV, the military leadership, you know. Every time I see our Secretary of Defense get up and mumble out some blah, 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 yeah, well, I think to myself, this is the best guy they could come up with to run the military, huh? Okay, all right, makes sense, you know.
It's dystopia. You know, we're living in a dystopic world because all the laws of nature and nature's God have been turned upside down. We no longer put the most qualified person in charge of anything, whether it's government, a corporate CEO, a financial officer, the plant manager, or even the department head anymore. I remember, here's a good case in point, right before I left Michigan, I worked in a nuclear power plant, and they made the announcement that we were finally getting rid of this deadbeat piece of shit we had for like 2 years as a department manager. He was a white guy, but they found him on unemployment from some other plant, and I can see why, because he was an idiot. But they told us that we were finally going to get this albatross off our back, and they were going to put somebody competent in there. So we all got big smiles, and they hear us, because we had meeting after meeting where we denounced that we were being led by mismanagement. And so who did they give us? This black guy from operations. And why did they give us this black guy from operations? Because he bombed out as an operator. He was a failure, complete failure. He was incompetent, so they put him in charge of a maintenance department that he has absolutely no idea how to run or what it does or anything else. And I remember one of the vice presidents giving us a pep talk about why we should be happy this guy's going to be our manager. And he makes the statement, well, we're trying to build his resume, so this will be good for his resume. And I'm going, so that means for 2 years, because they have a habit here in the last 15, 20 years, managers get changed out about every 2 years. And usually it's because they're so freaking incompetent, yet they got to move them down the road before they have to pay any kind of responsibility for the dumbass things they do. Well, that was the case with this guy. So they ran the incompetent white jerk off out, who was a bomb out and on unemployment, and replace him with this derelict washout from the operations department. And and like you said, he tries to give a talk, and it's like, did you graduate even from middle school? I mean, your English is terrible, your grammar is terrible, you have so little vocabulary, and it's obvious you have no technical ability whatsoever. But you're the manager of the department, so we can build your resume?
I know. Well, you know, having this conversation, maybe this had to go on for 30, 40, 50 years to bring us to the point where we are currently, right now in time, where our race has been marginalized to the point where it's very difficult for us to fight back against anything as a whole, as a race. Yeah, we have individuals that, you know, here and there, but as a race, very difficult right now for us to rise up against our enemy. Because if we did, there's the apparatus in place to shut us down. I finally began to understand why all the police departments and the military, but let's say the local police departments around the country, I really understood after a while, they began to have black police officers, black chief of police, black females running everything. I guess you saw who the new NYPD commissioner is. Did you see that?
No.
She's black female. She's the head police officer of 36,000 New York City policemen, a black female, just appointed by the new black mayor of New York City. So the pattern is very observable. It continues. And it's beginning to be clear to me that all of this ties into the current moment with the vaccination, the kill shot. And we are basically unable to rise up against it. Now, we can, you know, we protest. There's actually a protest up here right down the street from me every Monday from like 3 to 5. I go down to it. I'm not a marcher, but I drive by a few times and honk and wave to them and give them a little encouragement that I'm with you guys. And although it has occurred to me, it'd be a good place to go meet a woman, but that's another subject. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. But the point I was trying to make, I believe that we've been marched down this road to be so weak that the point all along was to bring us to this point where the culling will take place. And we're in the early stages of the culling, I believe, right now. It's about to crank up, I think. So a lot of things point to almost immediately within a few weeks. They're going to really ratchet this thing up via this new nonsense of Omicron. And they're going to use that as justification to bring out all kind of mandates, craziness. And what are we going to do about it? You think our police are going to help us? You know, you think those black chief of police care about us? I guarantee you they do not. That's why they were put in there, because they will do what they're told to do to our people. They don't care about us. In fact, they've been trained to hate us.
They don't.
You know, they not only don't like us,
right,
they dislike us. They would like to look down the barrel of a gun at one of us, you know. And
well, you know, it reminds me that this was years ago now, probably at least 4 or 5 years ago, that my buddy retired from the Navy as a chief petty officer. And just before his retirement, he had to go up to somewhere near Maryland to some kind of a base up there for some big conference. And he said that he went into this, like this meeting hall with the supply chain people in charge, all the officers that were like running the supply chain for the Navy, for the whole Navy now. He said, Dan, every single guy in that room was black. Now that reminds me also that he had, again, this is one of my best friends, so he's not lying to me. So all the supply chain guys that are in charge of how we get our parts to our Navy guys is a black guy. And then he tells me about his cousin, who is a commander in the Navy. That's a pretty high rank.
Yep.
And he's up for some big promotion, and he's part of a whole group of these primarily white guys that are trying to get this battlefield promotion. And you have to do a lot of work to get this promotion. You've got to put in some extra overtime. He said you average 80-hour work weeks. You've got a lot of qualifications that you have to have redone and make sure everything is up to snuff in your record and everything to get this, because this is a very prestigious promotion. So these guys are all doing it, and it's getting close to the time when the Admiralty is going to pick the guy that wins this this big promotion. This admiral comes into a whole conference room full of these guys, and he gives this speech about how important this is and how hard it is to get it. And then he makes this statement. Get a load of this, Greg. Oh, by the way, if a minority officer puts in for that, they're going to get it. He actually tells a room full of white, hardworking, eligible qualified white officers that even in spite of all your best efforts, if a black guy puts in for this, he's going to get it. And guess what happened? Sure enough, a black guy put in for it. He got it. So these guys got pissed off, and they started doing some investigation into the guy's background, and they found out he was completely unqualified.
Of course. You know, it's, well, that's why they had to do this to us. If everything was based on merit, we'd run everything. That's it.
That's exactly why political correctness and affirmative action was started. I said it from the day they first started pushing it on us. I was in the, well, the military is where it first started. They tried it out on us first, and then about 5 years later, they hit industry with it. So it was about the time I left the military and went into industry, I saw the exact same things they were pushing on us in the Air Force. 5 years later, they pushed on us in the power industry, the exact same bullshit. And it got the exact same results. It destroyed the camaraderie and the cohesion of the workforce. Our quality of work went down. Our adversarial positions of people in the shop went up. Complaints went up. Cost of doing business went up. Everything. It was a disaster, but they did it anyway. We've got Keith is going to join us now. Greg, Keith, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
How you doing, Keith?
Doing well.
Yeah, we were just talking about how the white man has been disenfranchised in his own nation.
Yeah, that's an understatement, I think. you know, to be honest with you, right? Yeah,
right.
You know what, Dan? We've done it to ourselves. Okay, no one's done this to us but ourselves. I think about this a lot. It's an interesting topic to think about. You know, people always say, oh, they're doing this to us. The little, oh, by the way, I've got a new term. And I didn't make this up, but another program, a guy named Scorpio and Giuseppe do on RBN, I think it's on, or one of them, or Freedom Slips, one of them other stations, right? The International Elf. Used the term elf for Jews.
Elf?
Elf. The little elves, right? Little elves running around.
Okay.
Yeah, I laughed out loud when I actually heard that the first time. I like
okay.
it anyway. So anyway,
right.
You know, we're always complaining about, you know, oh, the Jew is doing this, the Jew is doing that, the little elf is doing this, the Eskimos are doing this to us, the blacks are doing this to us. Well, that's our own fault. You know, our people have been asleep at the wheel, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of anybody else's doing. They're just idiots. They truly are. Our people are some of the stupidest people on the planet. I was at a birthday party last night for a customer. And I don't like parties, but we were invited, so I'm obligated to go, right? We stayed for an hour just to show up, give a little card with a gift certificate in it, and had some tacos last night, and then we left. And the table next to us, I was listening to their conversation a little bit, and they were saying how they were all vaccinated at the table. And then they started going on and on about, you know, the Fox News headlines. Right, because they all watch Fox News. Well, if they truly believe that these news programs are the truth, then we deserve what's ever coming to us. They're talking about war with China at the next table. War with China, how China is controlling parts of the Philippines and they're getting into Taiwan. Like they're pretending like they know what they're talking about, right? And all they're doing is regurgitating what some talking head traitor on the Fox News, whether it be Tucker Carlson, that blonde-haired woman, whatever her name is, Sean Hannity, the traitor to the country, right? If they believe those talking head people and can't open up their eyes and look around, I'm starting to – we deserve what's coming to us, okay?
Yeah.
We can talk about us being disenfranchised, but we've done it to ourselves because we're gullible. These are very gullible people, and they all drive nice cars. They all had there was a brand-new Audi in the guy's driveway. There was a brand-new Mercedes parked next in front of us where we parked. Brand new $70,000 pickup trucks. And I always think it's amazing how a guy can have a $100,000 Mercedes and be this friggin' stupid.
It was the bribe money to get our people to go along with it.
Yeah. So, you know, we can talk about and say that we're this, we're that. Well, we've done it to ourselves because we refuse to wake up to who's doing this to us, why they're doing it, and what they're doing. I mean, I don't. If you can't see it by now, there's no hope for you.
Yeah. Oh, just for as we used to say in the service, shits and giggles. I watched an old movie called Idiocracy. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a complete retarded movie. Okay, it's piss poor acting in it and everything else. But the premise of the movie is what's interesting. It's just like the movie They Live. They Live has a lot of symbology in it. And They Live is a stellar production compared to this movie, Idiocracy, because it's completely idiotic. However, the premise of the movie is that these two people who are subpar are put to sleep, and they wake up hundreds of years later by accident in America, and it shows that in that time, the average person had become so stupid that these two subpar people are now geniuses to the people 200 years from now. And that's basically the gist of the story. But it was like, okay, this is supposed to be comedy, supposed to be ridiculous, but this is exactly what's going on. They have dumbed down the people to where people 100 years ago, if they were to resurrect today, they would be geniuses. Just the average. In fact, the average school-age child from the 1700s would be like a postgraduate of college today in America.
Yeah, right.
Okay? There was a while back where somebody was putting out an eighth grade test, a test for the standard eighth grader back in the early 1900s. Most people in college couldn't pass that test today.
Yeah, I saw that. You posted that on your site, didn't you, a long time ago?
I think so, yes.
That's yeah, because I saw that. I think I caught it off your site a while back. I don't know. It's got to be a while back. But I saw those questions. Dan, I couldn't answer some of the questions.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, and you go back to the founding of the country, the 1700s, many of the people who were the leaders of this country could speak three or four languages. They studied constantly. They knew the great philosophers of antiquity and the current ones from 100 to 200 years ago. They studied. They read. They talked to people. They were educated. A good example is go read George Washington's farewell address. I used to hand it out back before the computers came around. That was about the only way you could inform people. So I got a bunch of copies of it. It's a two-page pamphlet, and gave it out to people to read. I said, look at the vocabulary and sentence structure in George Washington's farewell address. Most of the people in Washington, D.C. wouldn't be able to comprehend what he was talking about.
Yeah, we've been dumbed down. And I heard before I got on here, I heard a political correctness, either you or Greg mentioned, and that truly has been the downfall. I think that – was that what you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we were covering the whole – kind of the whole subject matter, really.
Well,
it's funny you mentioned about George Washington. We've gone from that to now we had the – who was the one Negro? I think he was a congressman who was talking about it. The island of Guam, if we put any more people on it, the island would tip over. I forget his name. He was a congressman.
Greg Johnson. Greg Johnson from Georgia.
Yeah. Guam would tip over. Yeah, that's who gets to vote on things today. Anyway. Yeah,
you know, that's a.
I'm sorry, Dan.
That's a good case in point because I watched the video of that when he made that statement. He was part of the congressional committee that was interrogating this admiral. And the admiral was talking about putting military people and equipment on Guam. And this guy actually looked at an admiral, a sitting admiral, and said, aren't you concerned that putting all those men and all that equipment on one side of the island will tip it over? He actually said that.
No, I remember, and I remember the admiral kept a straight face, too. Like, he must have thought, well, I could crucify this guy, but I'm not going to do it, you know.
Well, that's the problem right there, Greg. He didn't do it. Now, why didn't he do it? Anybody with any sort of integrity, or especially an admiral. I mean, admiral is the highest rank, isn't it, in the Navy?
Yes,
that's correct.
So he's the highest ranking officer in the Navy, okay? And he was such a coward. Such a coward that I know exactly what clip you're talking about. I've seen it multiple times, and every time I see it, I laugh at it. But this admiral was such a coward that he couldn't even address the idiot congressman who thought an island was going to tip over because we put a few tanks on it.
Right.
That's what's wrong.
He should have got up and walked out.
Yes.
If he had any integrity, he would have said, if this is the caliber of people that are going to ask me questions, I don't need to be here, and got up and walked out.
But instead, he didn't.
That would have been a brilliant reaction for sure, right there. Yeah.
Right.
He sat there and basically bowed down and kissed the feet of this black guy who's supposedly a legitimate congressman. Right? I mean, that's
the problem. The spirit of cowardice has taken over our people as a whole. Now, I exempt us in Christian Identity from what we've been discussing. We're the small handful, relatively speaking, that will not bow down, that will not roll up our sleeve, you know, we will not kiss the butt of the enemy. 99% of our people will, but it's probably less than 1%, but there's a group of us exempt from what we're talking about here. I don't want to. We're not included in that group. We're racially part of that group, but spiritually we are separate from them. We do not have a spirit of cowardice or a fear. And more and more, I just see the validation of Christian Identity in the world's moment when I see how our people have been slowly destroyed, slowly brought to a point of total weakness. And then all of a sudden, the pharmaceutical attack began about a year and a half ago, and our people had been prepared, had been basically weakened to the point where they just said, "Well, okay, I'll get a shot. Okay, I'll get two. Now it's three. Oh, it could be four." And our people will just, our people have been weakened to the point where the pharmaceutical attack, which is clearly going on worldwide, it's going to overtake them. And our people go down with barely a whimper, most of them.
Yeah, Revelation 18:23.
Yep, 18:23. Yep. Let me just let the audience know something here real quick. I want to highlight this 18:23 thing. About Pastor Greg, okay? Pastor Greg's been a friend and an ally for a good many years. Many of the people here that have been with us for a long time recognize his voice, but some of you new folks might not realize that Greg, his testimony carries a lot of weight because he is a somewhat unique individual. Number one, he lives in one of the most communistic states in the United States, New York. Number two, he was ordained as a Baptist minister. So he's been through seminary. He's actually been a mainstream pastor. And he's worked in the pharmaceutical industry. So he has some pretty unique qualifications to give his opinions on what the hell's going on today. That's my take on it. But anyway, I wanted to let the people know that, Greg.
I appreciate that. And I, you know, it's funny, Dan, I don't put myself on any pedestal, but I spent 20 years working for one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world. And the reason I lost my job was because our company in 2006 was acquired by Pfizer, of all companies. We were bought out, and we were bought out mostly for our product line. We had a lot of very profitable products, and we were one of the largest vaccine companies in the world. And I sold vaccines for years. I was very familiar with them, the whole concept of the vaccine and all the clinical trials that you had to go through to bring a vaccine to market, to bring any drug to market, was usually at a minimum 10 to 15 year endeavor, because the protocols were pretty rigorous, which was the very first alarm that when they rolled out these vaccines, how quickly all of a sudden they were available. I'm like, this is impossible. Or not so much that it is impossible, but it's all wrong. They don't have any data to support that these things are safe, to support that these things 5 years from now don't cause you to grow a third arm. And they just roll them out, and then they just talk out of both sides of their mouth and say, oh, yeah, it's fine for kids. Oh, yeah, pregnant women? Yeah, no problem. Hey, roll up your sleeve. There's zero data on any of this.
Well,
and it's so ridiculous. You know, they are now the CDC, the FDA, they're all completely corrupt. They were corrupt back when I was in the industry. You had a rotating thing where the head of the FDA would leave the FDA and go be on the head of a pharmaceutical company. We saw it all the time, back and forth, very chummy. And it's way worse now. And the CDC is a complete joke. And they're all run by Jews, almost 100% Jews, or minorities that'll do what they're told. They always sprinkle a few of them in there. But this thing has just been rolled. It's a bioweapon, is the takeaway, I think. It's a weaponized injection. It's designed to do you severe damage. And it's actually designed to kill you, just not everybody at once. And as they continue to roll out boosters, people are going to be dropping dead like flies because that's what that shot is designed for. The whole COVID thing is just the scam to get you to get the shot, the new variants and all that. It's all bullshit. It's all just so much nonsense that nobody – you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of these old Jews that get up and tell Holocaust tales at the schools and all these detailed stories of what happened to them in the camps. And I'm waiting for a single person to stand up after one of those Jews tells their story at a school and wipes a tear away and goes, excuse me, do you have a single shred of evidence that anything you have told us today is truth? A single shred of evidence that you didn't just make this whole thing up. And I'm waiting for that one person to get up and do that.
Well, don't hold your breath, Greg, while you're waiting.
Damn not. You know, and by the way, they're great storytellers, you know. Oh, I wish I had a dollar for every Holocaust survivor. I think I'd be in good shape.
Yeah, you'd be in real good shape. Let me just touch on something also about the vaccines. Me and my wife were talking the other night. We believe that this has been in the works for a couple of decades.
I totally agree with that. Maybe longer, but at least 20 years. At least 20 years, yes.
And what I'm talking about is the mRNA. I'm not talking about vaccines or anything like that. I'm just talking about this specific gene-altering bioweapon shot that's got the mRNA in it. Now, here's something I read the other day, and then I'll revert back to what I was originally going to say before I forget. The shots are progressively heavier. And what I mean by that is, in the first shot that people take, there's 30 million, for lack of a better term, strands of synthetic mRNA in it. In the second shot, there's 50 million. In the booster shot, there's 100 million. Okay? So what that means is the shots are getting progressively stronger. So the more when these people start hitting the fourth and fifth shot, I think that's when you're going to start seeing a massive die-off right away. And that's going to take
right. – Yeah, and they're already pushing the next shot because of the new variant, Omicron. That
right.
was the point of rolling out this new, you know, ooh, the Omicron variant. Because now they'll be able to justify another shot into everyone. And, boy, that probably will be the shot that will really, really do it for you, I would guess.
So here's the deal with this bioweapon vaccine, okay? Like I just stated, it's been in the works for a couple of decades, this mRNA technology, if not longer. But here's the deal. They've had these things produced. They've had these things produced for years. And here's how you know. They've been all bottled, all stored for years. Here's how you know.
I agree with you, by the way, yeah.
They supposedly have, how many of these doses have they produced? Billions of them? Well, if you think about just that one fact, okay, that they produce billions of these vaccine doses. Well, where did they get all the billions of extra vials from? Where did they get billions of extra rubber stoppers from right away? Where are all the processing plants that have been processing these billions of doses of vaccines? Where's all the storage at, all the billions of bottles that have to be stored?
Well, not only that,
you can't
but all of a sudden they rolled it out within a couple months, and boy, here we are. We're ready to vaccinate the world.
That's what I'm talking about. You can't do this.
Yes.
In a short time period. This has been years in the planning because you can't just all of a sudden come up with a billion extra vials. The vials have to be made and produced. The rubber stoppers have to be made and produced. The storage containers have to be made and engineered to keep it that cold, right? They said like 60 below zero. Well, that shit's all going to be engineered and put together, right, with individual little with all little shelves in it for each individual vial. And they only have so much space for all the storage. So that's how you know this has been done, right? Many years ago. Because just take the vials, an extra billion vials. Imagine me calling up let's say I own a company that produces these vaccines. Imagine me calling up the vial supplier and saying, we need a billion vials by next weekend. It can't be done.
And a billion needles. A couple
right.
billion needles.
Done. So that's how you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, this has been years in the planning. They've probably had these things, whatever this formulation is. And Dan alluded, you know, the 20 years I spent in the pharmaceutical industry, one of the biggest benefits of it was it made me fluent in the language of medicine and in the understanding of, by the way, one of the main areas of medicine that I had to be very fluent in was infectious disease, because one of the big products I saw was a critical care IV antibiotic used in hospitals. It was a heavy-duty antibiotic for people in rough shape, and it was a powerful drug, mostly used by critical care people and infectious disease specialists. So I had to really know that whole aspect of medicine. And I've just found that I have all that fluency, never left. And because, you know, I've been interested in medicine ever since. I'm not a doctor, I don't pretend to be. But my training was not in being a medical doctor. My training was in the language of medicine and being able to sell and intelligently discuss therapies with various medical specialists. And for 20 years I did that, and I came away fluent. It was like I studied the German language 6-7 days a week for 20 years and practiced it every day, and I became fluent in German. Only it was in the realm of medicine, and it's enabled me to wrap my head around what's going on with the vaccine. And I study constantly. I read the medical literature. There's a lot of good information out there. There's a lot of doctors putting out truthful information, and it's really terrifying to read what some of these guys are putting out. I just read an amazing paper. It's probably still up
It was linked on the website, Stephen Quayle, and I've seen it on a couple other websites, about an Austrian scientist who is one of the top experts in the world in, of all things, carbon. And he, you know how we've heard that in the vaccine, one of the main ingredients was graphene oxide?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did the research, and he did about a 20-minute presentation. And interestingly enough, he was killed 4 days after he gave his presentation. His wife said he was murdered. On what really is going on in the vaccine, and he gets into the graphene oxide. He said, more accurately, it's graphene hydroxide. It's got an extra atomic thing attached to it. He actually drew it out on the board. But he said it's like millions of micro razor blades injected into you is what is in the vaccination. And he goes into some detail, but he goes the graphene hydroxide is like a molecule-thick, razor-sharp piece of carbon, and this is where his expertise came in. He says, when you get injected with this, they are injecting millions of tiny molecular-sized razor blades into your body. And he theorized, and it was brilliant, he goes, if you're unlucky enough to get this thing directly injected into one of your veins, then all these little razor blades are basically going straight into your bloodstream. And he goes, these are the people that die quickly. He goes, if it just goes into your body, then it's a slower process. And going back, Keith, to what you said, it's probably an increasing dose of this thing as time goes on. But he said, this is what explains when the, if you've heard about all these super young, world-class soccer players in Europe that are dropping dead with heart attacks on the field, having heart attacks. He goes, this explains it, because when they're running, their blood is flowing faster and faster, and the stuff that's been injected into them, what it does is it cuts into the lining of the blood vessels, the endothelium, and you get micro tears, you get clotting because now it's trying to heal, and all these cardiovascular effects are because of the cutting of these little millions, and he called them razor blades. And it's a fascinating article. But this shot, he goes, this is not, his conclusion was, this is a mass murder weapon, was what he came up, and that was, he says, that's a conclusion. He goes, this thing is not meant to help you in any way whatsoever. He goes, this is a mass murder weapon. And he, you know, because he was Austrian, and over there right now, they're proposing those that have not had a shot are looking at a year in jail, and they have to pay for their own year in jail. How about that? Makes me appreciate New York a little more. We're not quite there yet.
I saw that article. I actually have that bookmarked here. I was going to talk about that today, that Austria article. But just getting back to the math of all this, it's sort of like the math for the Hala hoax, right? Five ovens and 6 million people.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so I mean, none of it adds up, right? The math never adds up with these people. Nothing adds up with these people. But booster shots. Here's some good news. Booster shots were just approved for 16 to 17 year old kids. So that's the good news that was put out, right? Booster shots are approved for 16 to 17 year old kids. So now you're going to having, instead of just the professional athletes and professional athletes dropping dead, now you're going to be having high school athletes dropping dead on the field.
Right. And guess whose fault they're going to say that is? You know, the narrative can be twisted so easily. You know, nobody dies of the vaccine, according to the media. They die of COVID.
Well,
how did those fully vaccinated get COVID? Well, that's because of the unvaccinated. The variants are coming from us. See how clever it is?
Oh,
it's incredible. They can twist this thing around so easily. You know, if you end up in the hospital, let's say this Austrian scientist is correct, and I think he is. You go in the hospital, you're hemorrhaging blood. These little razor blades have just destroyed your cardiovascular system. You're fully vaccinated, and you die in the hospital.
You know, and let's say it was 2 or 3 weeks after, let's say a month after you received your final shot, they're not going to say you died of the vaccination. You could die of the vaccination an hour after you got it. They wouldn't say you died of the vaccination. The vaccine, they'll never say it. Even though they probably know it, they won't say it. They'll say, well, he died of COVID. Yeah, COVID got him. He died of COVID.
Or they're going to say that, oh, the person had a heart attack or a stroke from stress because of post-pandemic stress disorder.
Right.
Have you noticed that term they're throwing around?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
So it's very clever, but these are clever, you know, demons, right, in shoe leather. That's what you're dealing with. People, you know, people have to understand that. If you don't understand that, you're completely lost. You'll never understand anything. So the demons.
Yeah, I saw they invented that a while back. Post-pandemic stress disorder.
Yeah, so that's what they're going to blame all the heart attacks on, right? It's a very simple formula they use. They never get complicated with this stuff. It's always very simple to see once you understand what these people are and who they are, why they're doing this, and why they're doing this, and what they're doing. So it's a very simple formula once you understand who they are. But if you don't understand who they are, you can never understand what's happening. So they're going to blame post-pandemic traumatic, whatever, PTSD, but for the pandemic, right?
Yes. Post-pandemic stress disorder.
Thank you. So that's what they're going to blame all the heart attacks on. So it's an easy scapegoat, right? Because then the dumbed-down wife or husband who loses their significant other or loses their child is going to be like, well, it was the pandemic, the stress from the pandemic. I guess.
Well, and then again, they're going to blame it. Yeah, they have an easy out to blame everything. They're going to demonize us worse and worse, those of us that have not been vaccinated. You can count. They're doing it now. So they're going to crank that up. And look for that to get heavy, starting almost immediately, because now they've rolled out the next phase, the new variant. We need new shots. Look for them to really crank up this concept of the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Every time they wheel Joe out from the back room from eating his ice cream, and they, you know, and he mumbles with the pandemic of the unvaccinated, I just roll my eyes and think, you don't even. You know, they probably got him hooked up to a machine that makes his mouth move, and they just, you know, spout this nonsense off. Of course, it's not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's ridiculous. But it's an opportunity to demonize us and, you know, pressure us and make it harder and harder on us and to justify whatever they have planned for those of us smart enough to have not been vaccinated yet. And I guess I don't need to say it. Anybody that's been listening to this, under no circumstances, get the vaccine, okay? If that isn't clear by now, please be clear on it. It's
Greg,
a death shot. Yeah.
Hey, Greg, real quick with the variants. You just mentioned the different variants, right? Well, I came across an article last night. And by the way, guys, if you guys don't go to Jeff Rentz's site every day, I highly suggest you go there. You can get all the headlines in about 5 minutes for those of you that are very busy. And those of you that aren't so busy can read the articles he links to. But Rentz is one of the greatest sites ever to come up. Jeff Rentz's site is excellent for news. I read last night an article that was he linked to last night that was saying that the Omicron and Delta variants are going to combine into a monster virus. That was the term they used, monster virus.
Yeah, so I saw that as well.
Thing.
Right. Yeah, and
guess what the next variant's going to be? Omega.
Really?
The final straw. The final straw. That's my prediction. The final straw, the death blow, will be the final letter in the Greek alphabet, Omega. Because they're mocking Messiah, who said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And so they're going to mock Scripture and Messiah. At the same time, if you had your thinking cap on, Omega is the final letter, the final straw, and they're going to mock you, just like when they put the word pharmakia above the pharmacy, but they said in English it was pharmacy, but what it really is pharmakia, the Greek word for drugs used in sorcery and black magic. So they're mocking the idiocy, the low IQ of our people. My money is going to be that it's Omega will be next, and it'll be the final straw.
That's a
good. That makes sense, Dan. Calling your shot. I like it. You know? I mean, it's the whole world is the
Greg, I had something real quick here, Greg. I wanted to ask your opinion to this. They have to turn the average low IQ moron out there against us because Satan's kids are not allowed to touch the anointed directly. They're not allowed to touch Yahweh's children directly. So they have to try to get the uninitiated, the unwashed masses out there to turn on us to do their dirty work. Because they, number one, they're cowards. Number two, they're not warriors. And number three, they're not allowed to do direct harm to us as Satan's kids, just like in the story of Lot. But they are allowed to deceive. And so this great deception is to turn the low IQ humans out here walking around in suits of skin, turn them into soldiers to come after you and me, because if they can do that, then they'll do their dirty work for them. That's just the thought I had. Go ahead.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. They want to alienate those of us that have not taken their poison. They want to make life difficult for us. You know, they're trying to put together statewide and nationwide databases of people that have not been vaccinated. They want to nationalize that information. And you can immediately see how that would be used against us if they had a list. Right now they don't have a list of who has and who has not. Maybe they have a list of who has, but if they had a very accurate list of who has not received their shot, boy, they could sure use that to browbeat you, to, you know, withhold benefits from you. I don't even, you know, well, you know, you want your Social Security. We notice you haven't been vaccinated, da-da-da. Well, as soon as you get vaccinated, let us know. We'll start sending your check again. I see that coming in the next year.
They've already introduced the bill, Greg.
Well, yeah, same here in New York. They're going to vote on it the first week of January. And I think that bill already exists in the National Senate and Congress. They want to nationalize the database. So it's obvious what they'd use it for, you know.
Well, they claim that it's for to see who's been vaccinated, but in reality, as we all know, it's to see who hasn't been vaccinated.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so they'd come after us. But I don't know that, you know, I see 2022 is going to be a very intense year, because I don't think they want to continue to drag this out for a whole lot longer, because people are catching on, people are waking up, and I think they realize they have maybe less time than what they might have planned for to accomplish this task. And I'm sure they had all kind of contingencies built into this. We're seeing them now, you know, and I look for the coming year to be incredibly intense, honestly. It's my oppinion, you know. The signs are there that it will be. I may have to leave the state. I'm ready to do it if necessary.
Well, the problem.
But I don't know it'll be good anywhere, you know. We'll see.
I don't think there's anywhere to go, Greg. That's the problem. You know, there's nowhere to go. So, you know, it's going to take time. They can't, as we know, they can't do it all at once, right? So they're going to have some states that go forward faster, like California and others, and then they'll have some slower. But eventually, it's all going to be the same, because we're all coming under their New World Order government, right? Their communist government. So everything is going to be that way. And there's nobody putting up a fight. This DeSantis character is a fucking he's married to a Jew, right? So that's all phony. That he's going to run for president. He's going to be like the Donald Trump light in 2024 presidential race. All right, so then all the dumbasses who watch Fox News are going to be like, oh, DeSantis, he's always so hardcore. He's blocking all this stuff, this, that, and the other thing. Well, he's not blocking anything, okay? And all the people out there who have jobs at these big companies with these mandates that the Sixth Court just put back into place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people think the court system are going to solve this problem for them. They're not going to solve anything.
I think the Supreme Court will uphold this whole mandate thing.
Well, they're already upholding it. The Sixth Court just reinstated Biden's mandates.
Right. And the Supreme Court shut down the religious exemption for all the healthcare workers here in New York. They took it to the Supreme Court, and you would think a conservative court would have upheld a religious exemption, and they did not. And most of Trump's appointees voted along with the Jews, and all these people lost their job up here in New York that refused to take the vaccine.
Right,
so
now,
yeah.
There's a lot of companies right now that can that you don't have to get the vaccine, but you can take the PCR test on a weekly basis. Well, an article just came out that the PCR test is not going to be recognized any longer by the CDC starting in January. So what's going to happen to the people who are taking the PCR test to keep their jobs? Well, they're either going to have to get the vaccine or lose their job. See how clever they are? They start off, well, you can be tested instead of taking the vaccine. Now, all of a sudden, they're taking the test away.
Yeah, I've read a number of articles on that test. And of course, it's wildly inaccurate. It didn't really show anything. But that is very sinister. I've seen some outstanding photographs of those tips of those large Q-tips under high-level microscopes, and they are embedded with some very interesting small, microscopically small objects. And if you've seen how one of these tests is performed, where they shove it not just in your nose, but way up into your nasal passage to the point where it's up there close to the blood-brain barrier, and they are rubbing that thing against that and likely dislodging whatever those small objects are on the end of those little test sticks. And I will absolutely never submit to having one of those tests. Nobody's sticking that thing up my nose, ever. I'm not taking a test. Obviously, I'm never taking a vaccine, but I don't even want to be tested. Don't put one of those in me. And unfortunately now, if you go to the hospital for anything, they're going to make you do that. That's pretty much the protocol at a hospital. By the way, hospitals have become death centers now. The different protocols. I would avoid a hospital now, if at all possible. You know, I mean, obviously, if you have a heart attack, you need help. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to go to a hospital now. I'd go to one of these little urgent care centers over a hospital any day. But I just want to avoid the whole medical profession. They've shown their colors here in the last year. They've been completely corrupted. The medical leadership is ridiculously poor. Doctors have just signed on to Big Pharma because that's where their paycheck is. And it's sad. Medicine right now is a joke to me.
It is a joke. My family that's in the medical profession have all told me that they're embarrassed. In fact, my niece just told me that she won't even tell people what she does for a living anymore. She's that embarrassed that she's even part of it. Ella is listening in live. She's a retired ICU nurse in the cardiothoracic unit. She just said that PCR test where they shove that probe up into your nasal passages, it's pushed through the epithelium, and she says it's the equivalent of medical rape because your body is being violated against your, well, in some cases, against your will, okay? So that's why you never give consent. It's rape at that point, which we all know rape in any form is a capital offense in God's kingdom. If you commit rape, you've committed a capital offense, which means those of us that have the job of executing justice on the earth will find you and hang you, all right? In God's kingdom, certain crimes require the death penalty, okay? We allow the Jew to talk us out of the death penalty when God's law demands the death penalty for things like murder, rape, and kidnapping.
But
okay?
Dan... But Dan, I go to church every Sunday, and my pastor said that the number one commandment is thou shalt not kill. Dan, come on, Dan.
That's because that pastor is a fool and an ignorant slob because the commandment was thou shalt not commit murder.
Right, exactly.
And executing a criminal is not murder. Murder is the taking of an innocent life as in the murder of an infant in its mother's womb. That's murder. So everything is backwards today. We protect the murder of babies while at the same time, we're saying we're going to protect the criminals who deserve to be executed. We're going to keep them alive because it's cruel and unusual. It's not cruel and unusual to murder a baby before it even has a chance to come out of the womb. Oh, no, that's not cruel. But it is cruel to take a black, a brown, a white, or whoever who's committed rape, kidnapping, or murder. That it's cruel to take them out and hang them in a tree or put a bullet in them. I'm sorry, but I see the world pretty straightforward through the eyes of my father, Yahweh. And it's pretty damn clear what's murder and what isn't. And we got it all backwards. So,
But Dan, they need a second chance, Dan. They're good. They're just troubled people. Their environment they grew up in caused them to do all this, Dan.
I know that. They're troubled, all right. Their trouble is that when the big hammer comes down with Yahweh's guidance behind it, it's going to smash them, all right? So if you've got a troubled childhood, then seek help from somebody, either friends or relatives, so that you can get your ass straightened out. But going out and committing crimes, capital crimes, because you feel distressed, or you're depressed, or you think you were not raised properly, I got news for you. That's not an excuse. We're coming after you. When the green light goes off and Yahweh sounds the trumpet, we're coming after you. There will be no prisons. There will be no rehabilitation. If you commit these crimes, and treason is one of those crimes, coming into my land unlawfully is a capital offense, all right? Coming into my land uninvited and bringing your diseases and crime with you is a capital offense. When we find you, you have no rights. You're a criminal. You came in illegally. You have no rights at all, period, none. You hunt them down and you execute them. It's as simple as that. You know, that's the amazing thing to me. As we talk about all these problems, the solution is so damn simple. It's just our people don't want to do it. You solve every problem that we have discussed so far today by implementing God's law, period. The full law, not just parts of it, the full law, which means aliens don't have any political power. So that's number one. Aliens don't have any right of citizenship. That's number two. Criminals need to be punished immediately, quickly, swiftly. You just do those few things and your society will clean up overnight. And that includes the board of directors and CEOs of companies that are producing products that commit murder, that do harm, okay? They will be held accountable. This whole idea that a corporation allows you to have limited liability is unconstitutional and immoral. The whole concept of a corporation is Jewish. Oh, I'm hiding behind a piece of paper because I was created by the beast state, so therefore you can't hold me accountable. I got news for you. God's law goes right past a piece of paper.
Well, it goes back to biblical times, right? They didn't have any corporations that owned land, right? The Israelites owned the land, or the Canaanites owned the land, right? So, technically, our father owns the land. We're just renting it from him, right? We're allowed to live here. So, you know, that goes with people who don't know that God's law even exists, right? They think that the only law out there is these laws that these criminal Jews make up in their backroom business dealings. And corporations, I've never understood that myself. I've never understood how anybody, any human being walking around can actually believe that a entity such as a corporation, which is basically a building on a street, is a corporation, right? It's a piece of paper in a building where people go to work, can actually own anything. A corporation shouldn't be allowed to own anything, not a truck, not a screwdriver, not a screw or a nail. An entity cannot own anything. The only thing that can own something are people.
Right. Yep.
So the whole
everything's
concept,
upside down.
The whole
everything's
concept
upside
of,
down.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole concept of a corporation is backward. It's elite. It should be. It's ridiculous. It shields these people through Jewish paperwork and laws from taking responsibility. So there's no one to go after, right? And the people go along with it. How anybody in this country, how any of our people, forget about everybody, how any of our people can actually believe that a corporation is a good idea is beyond my even comprehension. We have been down this path so long that the people don't even know what's up and what's down, what's sideways, what's left, and what's right. They have no clue. They're completely lost. I wish them all luck because they are going to need luck. They hate our God. They hate the Bible. They hate anything that's good. And they love trannies reading the kids in libraries and AIDS-infested homosexuals teaching their children in school. That's what they love.
Yeah, yeah. We just had one of the listeners commented here. It's a quote by C.H. Spurgeon. It says, "A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats." That's pretty much the mainstream church world today, right?
Yeah, pretty accurate.
Yep, that's exactly what the – well, you're an expert in that category too, Greg. You were there.
I read a lot of Charles Spurgeon when I was in Bible college. Yeah, he saw a lot. And that's an excellent quote. And that's why I didn't – that's why I was not successful as a pastor, by the way. I just did not fit in. And at the time, I didn't have understanding like I do now. I didn't know what the problem was. I was actually a failure as a Baptist minister. You know, looking back, I see why, because I was not meant to be there. I was not meant to preach the gospel to blacks and other races. And, you know, they were big on sending your children over to Africa to, you know, preach the gospel, to translate the Bible into countless little heathen tribes over there. And I always wondered why I never could get into that. Well, now I know. At the time, I just thought I was some kind of, you know, I had all kind of problems in my mind. I'm like, wow, I should be into this, but I don't really care about those people over there at all. If they die and go to hell, I'm okay with it. I used to think that way. And I realize now, you know, Christ never came to save those people. That concept of universalism, what was drummed into every young minister and every Bible school out there, every seminary, is one of the greatest heresies that ever has existed, universalism. And that's probably most of the basis for our current situation is most of our people that identify as Christians believe in universalism, the concept that Jesus Christ died for every two-legged person, every person on this planet. Once you see that's not the case, It opens up the Bible in a way that is just as incredible, you know.
Let me ask a question, Greg, and Keith, you can chime in too if you want. But since we're in the quote holiday season, we have this thing we call Christmas, but it didn't start out as Christmas. It started out as Christ's Mass, M-A-S-S, Christ's Mass. So that gives you a little clue of where it started, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Church from Hell. Okay? And guess what else came out of that den of thieves and evil spirits called the Catholic Church? Universalism. That's another
right.
Catholic concept that was pushed on us and ended up in the Protestant churches, because what are the Protestant churches except the daughters of the great whore known as the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, that's where we get the name Protestant. We were protesters of the Pope and popery, but we didn't leave a lot of the Catholic doctrines. We didn't care for the Pope acting like a potentate, but so we protested, but we didn't leave some of the sick and demented teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. So all of the mainstream denominations are part of the great whore. Every single one of them. They're all pushing interracial marriage. They're pushing universalism. They teach the doctrines of devils for the teachings of the Messiah, which is blasphemy. Everything
love
is upside down, guys.
Love is love, you know.
I can't tell you how many times, particularly the women, love to hand this one to me. But, Dan, don't you know that God is love? Oh, Dan, just love everybody and everything, Dan. You just got to love. You got to be close to God and just love everything.
Right, man. Two men in love, you know. Let's let them get married.
Oh, my God. Oh, they're killing babies down at the local court. Oh, but, Dan, you just got to pray for them. Why don't we go down there and burn the building down with all of the abortion doctors on the inside? Oh, no. Christ wouldn't condone that. But we can pray for them. I'm sure the doctors at the abortion clinics love that. Stay outside and pray for me, but don't come near me with the gasoline and the torches and burn my building down with me in it, because that would be effective. You see, don't do anything effective. Just pray. Even though the scripture says you don't pray for the unrepentant. That's what the scripture says. You don't pray for the unrepentant. And yet, what is the mainstream telling you? Oh, pray for the president and the Congress people, and pray for those that are committing the crimes, and pray for the criminal, and we don't care about the victim, the poor lady that was beat to death and raped by 10 frickin' mongrels. Oh, no, we don't care. Pray for the mongrels that they'll somehow repent while they're in prison, if they even go to prison. I mean, everything is ass backwards.
Dan,
why can't people see that?
I do pray for them. You know what I pray? I pray they're destroyed.
Well, that's imprecatory prayer. Yeah, amen, amen. I pray that all the time. I pray for the judgments of Yahweh that are written to come down on this world tonight. That's what I pray for every single day. Sooner the better.
Right, the sooner the better. I've been saying that for years, the sooner the better. And people have called me an accelerationist. I want it to accelerate. I'm sick of sitting here in limbo.
Accelerationist, I love it.
Amen.
Dan, what do you do? I'm an accelerationist.
Well, that comes from dopey white nationalist, right?
Well, we want the days to be shortened. We're told that if the days weren't shortened, none of us would survive. So we need the time to be shortened.
Exactly. I've seen enough stupidity. I think I live in a cesspool. That's what it feels like. Every day I feel dirty. I live in a cesspool, and most of these morons out here, these diaper-wearing, injected morons, don't even know that we live in a cesspool.
Well, the football game's on today, Dan.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to sit around and watch 12 hours of football. You know,
I know you're kidding.
Yeah, that's what these people do, though, right? They
yeah.
watch 12 hours of football on Sunday, 12 hours on Saturday, 4 hours on Monday, and 4 hours on Thursday. This world of time is consumed with is football, which I don't know why anybody watches that. You've got to be an idiot to watch it, and I truly believe that. Anyone listen, if you're watching football, you're a dumbed-down dumbass, because, first of all the games are rigged. If you didn't know that, I mean, you've got to wake up. Every single football game, every single basketball game, every single baseball game, I can go on and on, they are all rigged. You know how you know this? Because it's been proven in the past, and there's too much money involved. If you truly believe that the casinos in this country and all the sports books in the world are going to lose money, you are an idiot. So it's all rigged, so why even bother watching? It's not even entertaining. It's a bunch of blacks running up and down the field. I mean,
right.
But all the Patriots out there, the Patriots love football.
I know. Keith, it's funny because years ago, one of my friends is a retired airline stewardess or flight attendant, and she said that one time she was back – she used to be a big sports buff. And she saw this older lady who smelt of alcohol and cigarettes was sitting near the aisle, and she was reading some kind of a magazine. So she stopped, said something about the sports team that was on the magazine, And it turns out the lady was a professional gambler. And she looked up at my friend and said, "Sweetie, if you don't know that every professional sport is rigged, you're dumber than a box of rocks." She said, "There's billions of dollars at stake, and you think they're going to let that up to chance?" She goes, "No way in hell."
A guy wrote a book on that that you can get from Amazon. I can't remember if I can find it in my bookmarks. I'll post it and I'll send you the link, and you can post it on your site because it's a really interesting book. I used to have it. I think I lent it to someone. I no longer have it, but it's actually true. Every sporting event, whether it be college basketball, professional basketball, whatever, is rigged. And people go, "Well, how could they do that?" Because dumbass, all it takes is one play. All it takes is one call by the referee, and it changes the whole game. That's what people don't understand. It's very simple to do this stuff. It's one play. It's one bad call, and it changes the entire outcome of the game. And it's normally done at a critical time in the game. Okay? Or the coach, you know, the coach is calling the plays, right? You know, you always see those wins at the college games. It's normally the college football games, which I think are more rigged than pro games. But anyway, it's the college. You always see a team winning like 70-10, right, or 70-11, right, whatever the score might be. Well, they go, "Well, how can that be? How can it be such a far spread?" Because the one coach was told to call bad plays. When he's supposed to pass the ball, he's calling a running play. When he's supposed to run the ball, he's calling a passing play. And he does this the whole game, and that screws up the score. Because how could a team win 70-10? It's impossible.
Oh, man.
So it's all rigged. Anybody watching these sports games, you know, I don't know what to tell you, man. I would tell you this to your face, okay? I hope none of our people are watching. I hope no identity people are watching any sports. I really do. It's not even entertaining. How can it be entertaining? You're cheering on a bunch of niggers.
Well, a lot of non-whites, that's for sure.
I don't understand. And the white people playing the team, I call them niggers too.
Yep. I turned off the television set, so that's obvious that I don't watch any sports. I did that even before I turned the television off because it was just useless. It was an insult. But then when I turned the television off, I just eradicated all of it, which is mainstream programming, all of it, all of the sitcoms, the news stations, even things like History Channel and all that are completely Judaized. And the one I used, that the final straw when the television went off is when the History Channel portrayed Hannibal, the great general of the Carthaginians, who was obviously a white guy. Every historian knows that. But the History Channel had a black guy playing Hannibal.
Yeah, that's what they do, right? It's so insane.
The only two black people in the whole set was Hannibal and his father, and the Carthaginian army, which was the ancient Carthage, was a subsidiary of Rome. It's displaced Romans. And so it was entirely white, which is true. The Carthaginian army obviously was white, and Hannibal, their general, was obviously a white guy. But the History Channel actually put a Nubian black as Hannibal. Unbelievable. I turned it off. At that point, I said, "I'm done. That's it." Turned it off and never turned it back on.
Well, I still have the TV, mainly because I watch YouTube videos on it or whatever, or interesting music that I like and guitar stuff. But the TV and the programs on the TV have gotten progressively worse for our people. All the sitcoms now, those of you who don't have TV, all the sitcoms now are basically embedded with sexual, not even innuendo, just blatant out in your face, disgusting homosexual stuff, disgusting sexual stuff. And it's played at 4 o'clock in the afternoon where children are watching this stuff. So it's completely detrimental. But the TV now, I use it for, because I'm fully aware of what's going on. Like, all the people in the chat here are fully aware of what's going on. So now when you go back and watch it, you can see all of the subtle propaganda that poison our people, that go into their subconscious and they don't even realize it. So anybody who watches TV that you know, and you're trying to wake them up, it's a futile endeavor. As long as the people are watching the TV, you cannot, you can't wake up anyone. Only our Father can wake up people, but you might think you can. And I've explained that in the past of why we're here and what we're here for and why the people in the chat are here, what we're all here for. I'm not going to go through it again. You can go back and listen. So it's interesting now to watch the propaganda because it is so clever. It is the most clever thing ever done to our people is the TV programming. Just take, for instance, a sitcom. There's a sitcom called The King of Queens, which is about a couple, and the one guy's the equivalent of a UPS driver, but they portray him. It's a white guy. He's fat, and all he cares about are football, sports, and stupid shit in the world. And he's lazy, right? He stuffs. He's a glutton, okay? And that's how they portray our people. And when our people watch that stuff on the TV, they then think of themselves as that person. That's why it's so dangerous. But it's interesting to watch when you know what's going on because you can see it. And I find it absolutely fascinating that the devil's children are so good at psychological manipulation. It's genius. It's just like this COVID scam is genius. This is genius.
And well, Keith, how about the commercials?
Right.
They're the worst.
Not genius in a smart way, but genius in a clever way, because Jews aren't smart. Anyone who believes Jews are smart are highly mistaken. They're not smart. They're clever shysters. There's a difference. Okay, but yeah, Greg, the commercials are outrageous. Every single commercial is either a pharmaceutical drug that's being advertised, and most commercials have an interracial couple in them.
Well, or yeah, you're right. Or my favorite theme is the highly intelligent black and the stupid moronic white in the commercial made to look like a complete buffoon, while the blacks are made to look like these highly intelligent creatures. And
all of the crime.
It's such a recurring theme. It's unbelievable.
I'm sorry, Greg. I've got a little delay. I'm sorry to keep on. For some reason, I've got a delay this morning. That's why I'm stepping on people. I've got a delay. I'm sorry. They also have, like, if you watch a show like Law and Order or any of these criminal shows, you will notice all the judges, most of the doctors, and most of the high-up people on these TV shows, like in the police, like the police chief or judges or whatever, or lawyers, they're always blacks.
Yep.
Okay. So, and it's always the white guy is always the disgusting defendant who's a child molester, a serial rapist. It's always a white person. So they've switched everything around because we all know that the crime is mostly committed by blacks in this country. I mean, this is undisputable fact. Okay, it can't even be discussed or argued about. It's undisputable fact that they commit all the crime in the country, 99% of it. And you can throw in Mexicans in there too. But the TV is interesting. So if you haven't had TV in a while, don't buy a cable package, but go on to like YouTube and watch back episodes of stuff that you used to watch when you were a dumbed down idiot and asleep. And you will see that the propaganda is so strong that you will never ever, the people who are watching this TV will never, ever, ever wake up.
You know, what backs that up is, you know, the fact that they propagandized about Germany back in the 1920s and 30s when the National Socialists were there, and they claimed that the Germans invented propaganda, especially Goebbels. When the fact of the matter is that decades before that, Edward Bernays, who was related to Sigmund Freud, yes. Edward Bernays wrote books on propaganda. I'm looking at one of them right now. I have a copy of it called Crystallizing Public Opinion, which is basically marketing. Okay, and propaganda is marketing an idea, where public relations typically is to market a product, but it's the same principles. He also wrote a book called Morale, The First Line of Defense. He was a partial writer of that one. A book entitled Propaganda itself, along with Mark Miller. Okay, so this guy had his hands all over propaganda. Another book that he wrote was called Public Relations, Edward Bernays in the American Scene in 1945. So again, the propagandist, the Jew, tries to tell you that it was the Germans, because we're all supposed to hate the Germans, when in fact it was Edward Bernays is the father of propaganda and public relations, which again, they're twin sisters. And you think about marketing. Okay, what is marketing? Marketing is telling you lies to get you to buy something. The whole thing of advertising and advertising dollars has Jewish fingerprints all over it. And its whole purpose is to get you to buy a product that may be inferior, but they'll market it so that you'll buy it over some competitor who probably has a better product. A good case in point just came into my mind. Do you remember when VHS cassette tapes came out, the very first videotapes?
They were VHS.
There was VHS was the one format, and there was another format called Beta. All right? I remember when both of them came out, because I bought a Beta unit, because I read the consumer reports on it, and the Beta system was far superior to VHS. They were smaller cassettes. There were smaller units. Their electronics was better. The quality of the video signal was better. But VHS won out in the long run because of the marketing propaganda, and the Jews who control the financing put all their money behind all the stores that rented your movies and stuff were all in VHS. And so they also made the VHS machines cheaper to buy. So the American public did exactly what sheep are supposed to do. They switched over to VHS, even though the Beta was actually a better system. See, we've been propagandized and manipulated for so long. Our people, as the proverb says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. That's in the Proverbs. My people suffer from a lack of vision. We no longer can even visualize freedom and liberty. We don't even know what that means anymore. We've been sheep led around by the nose by these Jew propagandists for so long. We don't even know how to think for ourselves. We don't know how to use critical thinking on anything, let alone vaccines and viruses that have never been isolated, never been tested. So that means they don't exist. Okay. That's like telling me there's a star system beyond the sun of 10 million light years away. And we're going to call it this. So we know it exists. You do? How do you know it exists? Because you say so? Where's your evidence? Well, you don't need evidence. Just trust NASA and the scientists. They say it's there. Well, where's the evidence? Well, there is none, but you just have to believe us. That's the same thing that's happening with this virus. There's no evidence. It's so microscopic. It's never been isolated, never been tested, never been reproduced, never been found in a whole specimen, and yet they're telling you they know everything about it, and they've even made a vaccine for it. Talk about a mind F-U-C-K, okay? That's exactly what that is. They are playing with us, and we're so dumbed down and weak as people that we can't even see it. It's pretty pathetic, really, if you think about it. Over to you guys.
Yeah, it's you know, but I don't want to touch on the whole space thing, because that's a whole topic that could take hours and hours to discuss and dissect. But let me just mention this one thing. I recently came across an article that said that we sent a probe up by the sun, and the probe apparently got close to the sun's corona and took some samples or something of the corona of the sun. Now, what I want to know, and the question I've got for all these geniuses out there, including the fucking I'm sorry about the language, guys. I'm sorry.
That's right. Keep going.
My question for all these genius scientists out there is, you really believe that we put something up in space that got very close to the sun's corona? How come the thing didn't melt? Okay? I mean, this is common sense, right, Dan and Greg? This is common sense. The thing would melt. We don't have a metal that can be sustained in billions of degrees of temperature, let alone millions or even tens of thousands of degrees of temperature, right? It doesn't exist. So how are we getting close to the sun? How are we going to supposedly to Mars? How are we doing all? How are we getting through the Van Allen radiation belt? How are we doing all of this stuff?
Right.
I don't believe it for a second. And I'm not a scientist, okay? I'm not any of this stuff. But if you just think about it for just a second, how do they know what the sun is made up of? How do they know this? If someone can call in and explain this to me, maybe you're smarter than I am, but how in the world can any human being possibly know what the sun is made up of?
They don't know.
Right. They don't is the answer. So that means that all of NASA, all of space is all bullshit.
You know, you just brought back a memory from when I was in school, okay? And I was an avid reader, and I was an honor student, so I listened to what they said. But I can remember there with the textbook looking at these write-ups about the solar system and all. And I remember, as you were saying that, I can remember days when I sat in that chair thinking, how do they know? Even then, as a child, I was thinking, but how do they know? What do you mean? You look through a telescope and you're making these models up. And, yeah, but how do you know? You're writing the textbook as if it's fact. But it's not fact. It's your theory. Because the theory sounds plausible, they want us to buy it. And I got to admit, for a long time I did, until I got into my 20s, and then I started doing back research. Just like I read Desmond Morris? Who wrote the one about apes, us being evolved from apes? There was two. It wasn't Darwin. It was somebody else wrote a book. I think it was Morris. But anyway, I read this book, and I'm thinking, how the hell does this guy know? This is theory. This is not fact. He's postulating a theory that possibly could happen, but there's no evidence of it. There's no evidence of evolution ever, anywhere. No evidence. And yet we're told to believe it is fact.
Do you also know, and I just found this out recently, Dan and Greg and everybody else, that there are very few pictures, I mean photographs, okay? There are very few, let me make this specific. Pictures can be drawn, right, and computer generated. I'm talking actual photographs. There are very, and you can do a search for this on the internet. There are very few photographs of the Earth. You would think.
I thought there was none.
Well, I've come to the conclusion that there's very few of them from a search that I've done, and this I did this a little while back. There's very few photographs of the actual Earth. Okay, most of the
right.
things that you see are artist renditions of what the Earth supposedly looks like.
Right. That's why they don't all agree.
Right, but they portray them as photographs, right? They portray them as actual photographs, but there's very few, very, very few. Now, we can go back and forth all day long where the Earth is flat, round, square, triangle, or hexagonal, right?
Right.
But there's something, all I'm getting at is there's something up with the space program. None of it adds up. I don't believe that we've been to the moon. I don't believe that we've been to Mars. And I certainly don't believe that a probe has gotten a sample of the corona of the sun. Okay? this is completely absurd because we don't have a metal that can sustain – that can be sustained that the heat of the sun puts off. And they claim the sun is, you know, billions of miles away. How do you know this? Did someone measure this? Right? I mean – it's completely absurd, all the things that we believe that are taught. And I can't believe that there's science teachers out there who actually teach this stuff. I mean, how could you ever be a science teacher in the school? I would love for a student. I would love to go back to school and start taking science classes in a college and confronting these so-called professors about these things because it's completely absurd. And I don't know how you can get a PhD in rocket science or whatever the PhD is called, technically called, and believe this stuff. It just takes common sense. They don't know any of this stuff. It's baffling to me lately.
Yeah, what they do is write up reports and doctorates and things like that based on other people's writings and their so-called research, so they feed off each other. So the lie just perpetuates the lie into the next guy's reports. Okay, but does anybody do actual critical thinking and critical research of their own? Very rarely. So, again, it's a system. We live in a system where the people who are making the money and controlling us get to dictate who gets the rewards. And it will always be the ass kissers. Okay? The ass kissers will get they'll get their lists on, like, scholarship awards. They'll get to be the professor's favorite. They'll get the degrees. They'll get the time in front of the TV cameras and everything else because they perpetuate the lie.
Right.
Okay, I personally think George Carlin might have been taken out because George Carlin, even though he never professed to be a patriot or a truther, but if you listen to some of his skits, George Carlin told a lot of truth, especially about the fact that this is a great big game and the players that control everything are running the show, and he looked at the audience and he said, "You and I aren't in the club. The club runs the show, and you and I aren't in it." So he made a lot of very astute statements, and he coached it in humor as a skit on a stage. But if you listen to what George Carlin was saying, he was lambasting this whole charade that we're living in. And I think he got some people to open their eyes, you know, just like he talked about swimming in the river there in New York. And the fact that when he was a kid, there was open sewage. You could see sewage in the water where he was swimming with all his buddies when he was a child. And he said, "That's why I don't get sick." He said, "When I was a child, I was exposed to every germ that was possibly known." And he goes, my defense mechanism now has built up an immunity to almost everything. He goes, "I almost never get sick. But if you listen to these people, I should have been dead as a kid because I used to swim in polluted waters." He goes, "But just the opposite happened. I grew up very healthy, And my adult life, I very rarely got sick.
Yeah, he's right. You know, George Carlin was a genius comic, but the people thought he was joking, right, because he's a comic. So they sit back and laugh instead of going, huh, that's interesting what he just said. Let me go look into this. But this stuff all goes along with everything. You know, you can take the nuclear Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? Supposedly atomic bombs were set off there. Well, if atomic nuclear bombs were set off in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, how the hell did they rebuild the place within 10 years and inhabit it? Chernobyl's still uninhabitable. So someone explain that to me. Where did the radiation go from the supposed atomic nuclear weapons that were set off in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which, by the way, were two of the most Christian places in Japan? Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, I read that years ago. Right. I read that years ago. I always wondered, why did they pick Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and they had the highest percentage of Christians amongst the population there.
Right. So my theory on that is that it was firebombed like Dresden was.
Right, which was a center of Christian culture.
Because it can't be, it would be still uninhabitable to this day if actual atomic nuclear weapons were set off there. But they rebuilt it within 10 years. Where'd all the radiation go?
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
Can someone explain this to me? Can one of these smart PhD people who've got multiple degrees, 800 PhDs, explain that to me? Well, that's you're a conspiracy theorist, of course. Why would they lie about that? Because they lie about everything.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, and if you look at the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and you compare them to Dresden, they look exactly identical.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they don't, again, they have to perpetuate the lie, because if we found out the truth, we'd find out what despicable pieces of garbage they are and how little real power they have. Their power is in this phony Babylonian money system. That's where their power is.
Right.
If you took away their control of the Babylonian money system, they'd have no power at all.
And I'm not saying that nuclear weapons don't exist today. I'm saying that that's not what took place at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Okay? I don't know if we have nuclear weapons today, today. I don't know. Possibly do we have them? Possibly. Will they ever launch them? No. And here's the reason why they'll never launch them. Because we're dealing with psychopaths here. But the psychopaths, if they launched the nuclear weapons, then everybody would launch them, and they wouldn't be able to inhabit anything. And these psychopaths go, because they know they go straight to hell, for lack of a better term, when they die, that they want to live forever here, which is why they've got all this advanced medical stuff, which is why the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds all live to over 100 years old. I mean, the Queen of England's got to be 300 years old right now. This lady's been alive, seems like, forever. I mean, come on. So the life extension technology's come a long way. So they'll never do the nuclear weapons. They'll never do that because the earth would be uninhabitable. They couldn't grow any food. They could never eat. So that will never take place. So do they have nuclear weapons now? I don't know. But all I know is that, you know, we can go on with this stuff forever, right? These discussions of various conspiracy theories. I call them conspiracy facts.
Well, they are, but, you know, we've talk quite a bit about the problems. Let's switch gears here a little bit and get Greg back into it. Let's talk about what's 2022 got in store for us, and what should we, as the awakened remnant, what do you foresee in the next 12 months? What should we be doing, and what do you see coming down the pike at us? What should we be preparing for? Greg, you got any ideas?
I'll jump in here, Dan. I was just hanging out listening to you guys. You know, they're all in on this vaccine thing. You know, to use the poker analogy, if you've ever seen them on TV, when the guy stands up and pushes all the chips in, I think they're all in for 2022. I think that they're going to try to bring this thing to a close. I don't think they can let it go on for years because, you know, people are waking up and they see it. And while they have gotten a fairly large percentage of people to take this shot, there's millions and millions of people that have not taken it. So I look for 2022 to be a very, very hard, intense year for those of us that are awakened and have not been vaccinated. They're going to really make it difficult. I think there's going to be some laws passed that are going to be very bad for us. I look for that to happen. And, you know, I'm just determined, brother, that if I have to go down fighting, then I'm going to go down fighting. I'm not going to ever submit to this thing. And I'm 66 years old, so I've lived two-thirds of my life no matter what. And, you know, if I have to go out, I go out. But I'm not going to go to any quarantine center. You knock on my door and say, oh, you know, we saw about based on your cell phone that you walked by an infected person 2 days ago. And, you know, we're going to put you in a quarantine center for your own safety and for everybody else's safety. Well, at that point, then that might be the end because I'm not going to go to any quarantine center or any FEMA camp or whatever they're going to call it. I think that's in the near future.
Well, Greg, that's when you say to the people at the door, oh, okay, I'll be right back. I'm going to go upstairs and get my suitcase, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I'll have my suitcase coming down the steps.
Yeah, the old suitcase.
I'll be packed and ready to go right then. You know?
Yeah, I got to go grab my suitcase. I'll be right back. Wait here for me.
Right.
Yeah.
But let me just say one more thing. I'm very encouraged to be alive right now in this moment because we're in the moment of incredible fulfillment of prophecy. We're seeing the pharmakia that's deceiving the whole world. The vaccination, I believe, is what that is. And yet, we're not deceived. We're in the group that has, in my opinion, you know, we're the overcomers. We're the ones that whether we survive this moment or not, you know, whether we get to stay alive until the return of Christ or whether we die and are resurrected at his return, we're among that select group that have been chosen to be shown the truth, and we've responded in a positive way to it. I have a very dim view of anyone that's been vaccinated. I believe that they're a casualty of war. You and I discussed last night that they may still be able to repent of that, and I believe so, but I've met very few people that have gotten vaccinated and have any kind of repentance about it. I've met one or two, but most of them are proud of it, and they brag about their vaccination status, and they'll be the first in line to get a vaccine passport, and they'll proudly display it. You know, they'll just jump right on board. And I'm talking about our people, our race. I count those people as lost, and I have many friends and family that are in that group. Two of my four children are fully vaccinated. Breaks my heart. But they made their decision. I warned them. Of course, they were both in a profession that pushed it hard on them. And they felt pressured, and they did it. And they told me they had no choice. And I said, you had a choice. There's always a choice, a hard choice. But you had a choice, and you made it. And I believe we're going to see a lot of death of our friends and family and loved ones coming up in the next 12 months. It's going to be a rough ride coming up. I believe that's my opinion. And but yet I'm encouraged to be among the group of people that have understanding of the current moment. And I think there's more of us out there than what we might realize, but it doesn't, you know, it's so hard for us to connect. That's where I appreciate shows like this, because this is a connection. We're not allowed to meet in person, you know. I wish we were. Imagine a couple hundred
people putting on a Christian identity meeting somewhere. We'd be attacked, man. They'd have Antifa up our backside. We wouldn't even be allowed to park in the parking lot before they'd be attacking us. So, you know, these internet meetings are better than nothing, for sure. At least we get to fellowship a little bit. But I appreciate hanging out with people that have understanding and that are see what's going on in the world with two seed line Christian identity message, which is the true Christian message of the scriptures. All the other messages out there from the denominational world are a false satanic message, a false doctrine, the doctrine of demons. And those of us that have been called out of that, I'm so grateful. And I appreciate you having me on your show today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Based on what you were talking about here, I looked up real quick, Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's our people today.
Yeah. Yeah, so many of our people, they are fools. Our leadership, fools. Our politicians are a complete joke. It's a subverted nation for us right now. And we just have to survive as best we can and trust in Jesus Christ to show us mercy in these final days.
Right. It's kind of funny. I looked up in the Septuagint that verse, and it says they became moronish. In fact, the Greek word is moraino. So moron actually comes from the Greek, and it means to become insipid, figuratively to make as a simpleton, become fool or make foolish, lose savor, as in, oh, salt losing its savor. What good is salt when it loses its savor?
Anybody right.
Remember what's, yeah, it's only good for trampling under the feet of men, which is exactly what's happening to the white race that has lost its salt, its savor. It's no longer a preservative. It's not preserving God's law. It's not preserving the truth. And it's being trampled under the feet of men, meaning non-Israelites, as well as even a few Israelites, because they don't uphold God's law. So we don't love the truth. He said, I'm going to send them a strong delusion because they no longer love the truth. In a nutshell, that's what's wrong with our people today. They don't care about what's true. They care about what puts money in their pocket or makes them popular with the neighbors. That's what the thing they worry about the most. Is what the neighbors will say and how much money will put in my pocket. That's so they got no concern over the future of our people, and they have no concern over the King of Kings. None whatsoever.
That's right.
All right, guys. Boy, oh boy. We're past the 2-hour mark, so I think you guys need a break and the audience needs a break. So I'll start with Keith for closing comments, and then we'll pick this up at another time.
Wow, time flies when you're having fun. I can't believe it's been 2 hours. It's crazy. It feels like it's been 15 minutes. Well,
I know.
That's what happens when you have an interesting conversation about real topics and real issues.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I enjoy it when we talk because you guys come to the table with good hearts and good information. I mean, you know, and most of these people out here in society, you couldn't have a conversation that lasts more than 2 minutes.
That's right.
And in their case, 2 minutes would seem like 2 hours. I couldn't get away from them fast enough, whereas talking with you guys, 2 hours went by like it was 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, I just want Dan, thanks again for allowing me to call in here and giving me a little bit of a platform here to get some thoughts out. And like I said, guys, this is just my thoughts. This is me thinking out loud when I come on here. Just keep in mind that we are in this to the end. Our King is coming back, and it's our job and duty to survive what's coming so we can greet him when he comes back. And then when he comes back, it's going to be our job to educate any of our people that are left on the truth of this world. So keep that in mind, guys. It's a very, very important mission, an important job that you've been assigned with. Dan, Greg, all the people in the chat, myself. So this is your job here on Earth. Your job is not an accountant. Your job is not a truck driver. Those of you who know the identity message, your job is just what I stated. You need to stay alive. You need to survive what's coming. So when our king comes back, he can put you in charge of educating any of our people that are left. That's truly what I believe after much intense thought about it, especially over the past 2 years.
And rebuilding this world.
Right, and rebuilding this world to mirror God's kingdom. So stay alive. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your loved ones. And I'll end it here with this. Don't worry about trying to wake people up. You cannot wake up anybody. Only our Father can wake them up. You're here, so when our Father does turn the lights on, they have somewhere to go and get the information from. Because the internet is being completely censored. So the only people who are going to have this information once the internet is completely censored are going to be us. I've got 1 terabyte of information on a hard drive. All the videos that used to be on YouTube, I have them all. All the good ones. That shows who's doing this, so forth and so on. I've got most of, I don't know what you guys think of James Wickstrom, but that's neither here or there. I've got a lot, most of his presentations on my hard drive. Because they're very, very good presentations. Some of the stuff is questionable, but that's okay. We can't agree on everything. Just keep in mind, guys, love our people. Try and stay positive in this environment and take care of yourselves. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, amen. And by the way, Keith, before you jump off, and Greg and anybody else listening, this platform isn't just mine, it's everybody's. And especially in this day and age when things are happening so fast, I'm putting out an open invitation to have a program, be a guest, or have a special program to all of our people. So if something comes up that you think is important enough, just get a hold of me and we will schedule either coming on at the regular times or we'll have a special broadcast. It really doesn't matter. We can do it any day, any time of the day. It's too important that our people know the truth. So if something comes up, don't hesitate to contact me and we'll set up a broadcast or a special show and get that information out to our people. So just keep that in mind, all right?
Amen.
All right, Greg, comments, buddy.
Yeah, I wanted to read a few verses from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, just kind of where all this ends. You know, right now we're in the mess before the end, the disasters, the tribulation. I think it's going to get worse. But I like to kind of keep my eyes on what's at the end of this. And in Revelation 21, it kind of lays out what's going on for us. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then a little further down, verse 11, talks about the New Jerusalem, our eternal dwelling place. Verse 10, he says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then my favorite verse, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So this is where we're going to end up spending eternity, folks. And I love the fact that on the New Jerusalem, it's very inclusive. Or I should say it's a very exclusive club, okay? The only people that get to go in there are those of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, which we know is the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian race, the white race. That's us. And this is why we put up with all this stuff going on now, and why we have to stay strong and survive and trust in Yahweh to help us overcome. Because this is our destiny coming up here. You know, we have to keep the goal in front of us. I marvel, brother, at white nationalists that want nothing to do with the Christian message. Of course, they don't understand Christian identity. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so hostile to the message. But if I was going through all of this and I didn't have a view of eternity, I think I just would lay down and die. I don't think I could put up with it, honestly. I would just give up. You know, if there's no end goal here of me surviving all of this and staying strong, what's the point of it? That's why I wanted to read those verses. We have an eternal destiny lined up for us. And that's what we have to keep our eye on. And we got a few bumps in the road coming up, no doubt. And some of us probably won't survive. I've determined that I'll be fortunate to survive. I think my name is out there. I'm probably on the list. Dan, I think you are too. Keith, you're on the list, brother. But that's okay. I don't mind. I'm under the protection of Yahweh, and if he decides that my time has come, then I accept it. Anyway, brother, that's all I had to share, and I also appreciate being on the show today. And, you know, I just continue to warn people against getting vaccinated. Don't do it. Warn your family. Warn your loved ones. And that way, at least, if they make a decision to get shot up with poison, your conscience is clear that you warned them. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, very good, Greg. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yahweh bless your heart. I wanted to read one of the verses. You stopped at verse 7, but I think Revelation 21:8 is a warning to all of those who are out there on the fence or on the other side of the fence. So he was talking about how he'll be a spring of water and life for those who overcome, and he is their Elohim God. But this is the other group. But for the cowardly, unbelieving sinners who are violators of God's law, not man's law, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Now notice he started it out with saying the cowardly. Their part is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is representative of the second death. All men die the first death, which is of the body. It's the second death that you should be concerned about. What happens to your soul? What happens to the eternal part of you? The body is only temporary. That doesn't matter who you are. It's temporary. It was meant to be temporary. It's that entity, that soul, that psuche in the Greek, that lives within you, that you're a temple. Your temple is shrouding your spirit. Something to think about. But notice again, he started out that list with the cowardly. How many of our people today, of the white Israelite race, are abject cowards, and that's why they keep their mouth shut, and they don't object. They don't think. It's because at the base of it all, they're just plain cowards. They don't want to know the truth, because then they'd have to get off their fat, lazy, cowardly ass and do something. And it's much easier watching TV going along than to actually learn and do something about what's going on in this world. So that's a shame that our people have come to this point, but they have. A large percentage of them have. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for Brother Greg and Brother Keith and all the other listeners that were here live and those that will listen later on in the downloads. We just pray that we were able to get forth your truths, your wisdom, your logic, your rationale, and apply it to these perilous times that we find ourselves in. But we know the answers are simple. They're all based on truth. They're all based on you and your law. You and your law cannot be separated. So if somebody loves you, they have to love your law, because you cannot love you and not obey your law. You just can't do it. And the church world is full of these cowards, liars, and deceivers, those that think they're doing service to the Father and to us, but they're actually far from him, and they're only giving him lip service. They are the lukewarm that you detest so much that you said you would vomit them out of your mouth. And we also find them contemptible and have no more sympathy for those who have become cowards and lukewarm. Let them have the fate that you said would come to them. There's nothing more we can do about it. As Keith says, only the Father has the power to open up their eyes at this point, because the truth is it's laying on the ground all around everybody. And if they don't pick it up, they don't do anything with it, shame on them. But we do thank you for our brothers and sisters that are listening. We thank you for those that do seek the truth. We pray that we can help them come to know that truth. And we pray for a hedge of protection over all of us as we do go into this battle. And we also pray for those who, under coercion and ignorance, put that poison in their body. If they truly, truly repent of doing that, then I personally would pray that there be a miracle conversion, that there be a miracle of a cleansing. Because if you can cleanse us of the sins that are as red as scarlet within us and make us new creatures, then certainly these poor souls that have put that crap in their body deserve some meritorious reward for true repentance. And so we pray for that. We pray not only that their hearts be changed, that they be given the spirit of courage, but also that their bodies might be purged of all of these drugs and sorceries committed upon us by these children of Satan that walk amongst us. To that end, Father, walk with us, guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and always protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Amen.